Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
And a good Friday morning to you, and welcome into Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. It's going to be another glorious day here in Middle Tennessee. Yesterday was fantastic, and today is going to be even better. Probably low 80s today, so if you get a chance, get outside the house. Walk the dogs, walk the kids, walk yourself. Do whatever you need to do, but at some point you'll want to get out today and enjoy the beautiful weather here on this Friday. Darren McFarland here on the south side of town down here in Rutherford County. Willie Donick over on the east side in East Nashville. Willie, what's up?
East side checking in.
Chase McCabe anchoring down the west side in Bellevue.
West side checking in.
And Elijah Campbell back at 1824, his home away from home, Murfreesboro Pike. Our Wholesale Link Game Studios powered by RumbleOn.com.
Been socially distancing here for a while.
Yeah. What is it like, by the way? We haven't asked you. What is the building like? Is it just you?
Marquise, of course, just left, and Joe left the studio too. But outside of them, those are the only two people I have seen in this building. It gets a little lonely.
Huh. Interesting. Guys, we're going to start off with me confessing. I have caved to the masses. I have curiosity. It didn't kill the cat. It got me. Curiosity got me, okay?
This could be interesting.
Uh-huh. And I'm using a cat reference.
You are.
I just kept wondering, like, what are these pictures?
I know
what
where you're
is
going.
It that they're talking? What is this thing? Who is this crazy-looking dude? Like, what the heck is this? This time of year, we know there was no chance of us getting hooked on some Netflix series. Right now, we would be talking about, oh, my gosh, can you believe it? The Dayton Flyers are in the Elite Eight. Oh, wow, they're going to play on Saturday for possibly punch their ticket to Atlanta to be in the Final Four. Wow, we'd be talking about that. And, oh, my goodness, you know, seven games to go for the Predators or whatever the number is. And, man, they're three up there in the wild card spot. And, whoo, this is going to get crazy. This is what we would be doing. This is what we would be talking about. This is what we would be watching. But we're in different times right now. This is was a show number seven of us social distancing. And I'm like, what is this thing? And so I finally looked it up. I had enough people that had said, you know, you ought to check this out on Netflix. And so last night, the wife and I took in episode one of Tiger King. And I got to be honest, I think I'm hooked. Well, I don't think I'm hooked. I'm hooked. I'm gonna take in more tonight. This sucker, I'm gonna run through it this weekend. I'm in.
All right, Darren. Let me just set the stage for you because I'm through episode three.
Oh, have not even brought this up.
I've been almost afraid to because this is one of those. There are certain shows, and this could be like a four question type of thing for people that can go back with our show. But this would figure into the category of shows that I am intrigued, I'm watching, but I don't know if I can 100% recommend it to everybody. There will be some people that watch this show and go, no way. But if you like to be shocked and you like to be taken in by some things, like you cannot believe that this is going on on the planet Earth, then this would be the show for you.
Or in North America? About that, you know, Africa, yeah. If this was a show in Africa,
let me just tell you, Darren,
okay.
If you've watched episode one,
that's all I've got.
If you've watched episode one and that's it, people who have watched through the end will tell you, and I can tell you having gotten through three, if you were shocked after episode one, just wait until you keep going. It gets more and more bizarre as you go.
Well, I'm just going to admit that we started late, so I episode one got me. I'm ready. I was ready. You know, Netflix. Like I just can't hit stop when it's like the next episode, you know, coming down in 5, 4, 3, 2. I'm like, let's run it. Let's do it. I was ready for episode two, and Lauren was like, yeah, no, I'm out. It's like, she likes it, but she's like, you know, it's bedtime. And I'm like, all right, I'm not going to watch it without you.
My wife could never watch that. Aaron would never I cannot recommend that to Aaron. She would
is
not
it
watch
graphic
it.
Graphic or because I have not. Yeah, I've so, heard about it, but I have
well,
not. Well,
I mean, episode one is it graphic? No, I wouldn't say after episode one. Willie may have a different answer. I don't know about graphic. It's bizarro. I mean, it's way out
no,
there.
I don't think I would put it under the category of graphic. You know, it is just completely bizarre. But they're you know, we're talking about tigers and lions and there
bears.
Are things
oh
that
my.
Happen that
yeah.
are referenced.
And bears, yes. Well, yes, Chase.
It's, but they're careful on how they show the things that happen that are crazy.
So who got you hooked? Because this is the first that we have not discussed this. And I've had enough people say stuff to me, and I've seen pictures of Joe Exotic, and I'm like, who is this guy? And there's, you know, all these memes out there that include him, and I'm like, I didn't get it. And so we haven't talked about this. You haven't said a word about watching it. Who's the one who suggested you should watch it?
Yeah, I've been afraid. So our broadcast group, Lindsay, Kara, Hal, Mace, and John Tackett, they've been watching it. And so they've all been saying,
so
wow,
peer
oh my
pressure.
Gosh, this is
peer
unbelievable,
pressure.
Crazy.
Okay.
And so I was like, all right, I gotta try it. So they're all on various episodes. Some of them have finished it. And like you start seeing people referencing this on Twitter and saying and asking questions like, what? How I need a glass of wine. What do I do? Do I need therapy? I mean, there's people screaming out, reaching out for help after they watch this, I think.
I'm just going to tell you right now. I'm,
and for those that don't know what it is, maybe you should describe, you know, sort of if people have no idea what we're talking about. It's a Netflix show. It's a 5-part series, and it's based on
a,
it's
no, wait
a documentary.
Wait, 5-part? I thought there were 8.
Is are there 8? No, I think there's 5.
I thought we looked last night because that was when I said, okay, fine, I won't watch episode 2 without you. I said, but how many are there? And so when
I'll double
when
check,
she looked
but
it up last night,
five.
I thought she said 8.
5.
You sure about
I'll
that? I don't know. You might want to look at that again. I think
I'm
it's more than 5.
It right now.
I think it's more than 5. By the way, people are asking us on Twitter not to spoil it. We're not going to spoil anything. Well, I'm only through episode 1. Willie's through 3.
I know. Nate, calm down.
Yeah, we're not going to spoil anything. I just Googled. It says 7. It says there's 7 episodes.
Oh, so you're both wrong.
Yeah.
What?
That's what it says. That's, you know, Wikipedia doesn't lie. If it says it on Wikipedia, it's
7.
True.
I just looked it up on Netflix. It's 7.
Basically, this is – I am at the beginning
7.
Stages.
Correct.
Chase. So this I'm assuming – episode 1, after here, listen to Willie tell me that it gets even crazier, which, you know, I expected if this many people are talking about it. It's basically just setting up. Now, before I go any further, Chase, you don't even know what this is about, but Willie, did you have any clue of any of this before the you know, before everybody started talking about it and then you checked it out? Did you have any clue that there were even tiger parks in the United States, like outside of zoos?
No, I did not. But so let's back up for a second.
Me either.
We won't spoil anything, but basically what this is a study, it's a documentary on these people that raise, is this a fair way to put it? They raise exotic cats, right?
Yes.
Lions, tigers, mostly tigers.
It's mostly tigers.
But leopards and lynx mm-hmm. and bobcats and things like that. And they raise them on these, I guess you could call it sanctuaries, and they're all getting after each other. They all are jealous of one another. It really unfolds from there. And
we have an elephant
people.
Sanctuary in Tennessee. I don't know if a lot of people know that, but we have a sanctuary. That's a good word, sanctuary. We have one in Tennessee. I've never been to it, but we have one here. I don't even know, can you even go? I don't know if it's set up like this show where you can just show up and, you know, take pictures. And I don't know. Has anybody ever been to the elephant sanctuary here? In the state?
I have not.
No, I don't even know if you, I don't
some,
even.
Some people call it a zoo. Some people call it a sanctuary. And some people, it's just semantics, I guess, what you call it. But they have been, the laws have been loose enough to allow people to do this. And then there's all kind of questions about, you know, what's the fair treatment of animals? What's exploitation? and what's actually taking care and looking out for the animal's best interest, you know, the money that's involved in selling. What about people that want to just own one exotic pet, you know, a pet lion or something? How crazy is that? I guess, but people do it. It's illegal, but people do it anyway. So it's just, it's fascinating, but it's also a little scary.
Yeah, it's a little scary. This is what jumped out at me that I had no idea that they said in this documentary, Chase. There are more of these cats here in the U.S. than there are in the wild.
Wow.
Right, there's more cats held in captivity.
In captivity than there
are
in the
wild. Raised in captivity than there are living in the wild. There, the cats are an endangered species, but what's happened is they breed these cats, right? And therefore, that has begun to be the truth, which is kind of sad.
So it's what it is setting up for, Chase, is there's basically three big cat sanctuaries, rescues, whatever you want to call them. At least this is what I'm getting at through episode one, is Joe Exotic in Oklahoma. What is it? Carol, what is her name? Carol Baskin, is that right?
Yes.
Down in Tampa. And there is this cat over in, was it Myrtle Beach? It's in South Carolina. The other guy that's a little bit more polished than Joe Exotic. And so this thing, they just bounce around from them. But really, Joe Exotic is the main character. And then I'm starting to learn Carol Baskin comes into this a lot more. And it's very clear that there is a huge feud that's brewing. And, you know, it's going to lead to something, which they've already hinted at after episode one, because they've shown Joe Exotic, or they've had his voice talking from behind bars in prison. So clearly I know this escalated in a hurry, but that's what it's about. And
I
said, I'm hooked. I'm guarantee you I'm probably going to go through it this weekend. I'm sure I'm going to see all the
episodes. It's nuts.
Well, I'll jump in on it. I'll jump in on it for sure.
Yeah, I liked it. I mean, I didn't know what it was. I didn't have a clue. I was like, oh, let's just watch. I don't even know what everybody's talking about. Let's just watch it. And I was like, okay, I can get into this. I was ready for episode two. So who of the group has seen all the episodes? Do you know the answer to that, Willie?
Of the broadcast group?
Yeah.
I think Mace has said he's got two more to go. Hal has watched the whole thing now. I think Kara Hammer has watched the whole thing. Lindsay Rally, I think, has watched the whole thing. And John Tackett, our television director, has said, I can't do it. I can't do it. He has vetoed it.
Really?
Hmm.
I think he gave it a shot. I think he and his girlfriend are like, no, we can't do it. We can't do it.
All right, I guess we need to step away and take – I just now saw we're getting – let's step away and take a quick break. We'll come back. NASCAR driver Alex Bowman on the other line with us. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Back on Darren Donick and Chase on this Friday, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are practicing social distancing. This is show number 7, where we have been in our homes and apart. And we'll continue until we get through this together. Let's bring in NASCAR driver Alex Bowman. He is on the line with us. We've been talking what NASCAR has been doing a little bit differently this week, which has so far been a big hit, but we want to check in with Alex. Alex, how you doing?
Good, thanks. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, thanks for doing this. Of course, in the 88 car, I just want to ask you, we're all, you know, in unfamiliar territory. We're all doing things that we've never had to do, and there's no sports, and this is just a strange time that we're in. So I'll just ask it. We talk about it. You do it. So what has it been like for a guy like you, a young driver, that, you know, right now you can't do what you should be, you know, at the beginning stages of a long season, NASCAR season, and yet you guys are shut down for the foreseeable future sometime in May or until it's deemed safe to return to the track. So what's it been like?
Yeah, it's been interesting for sure. Definitely different. Not a whole lot going on. I mean, it's either watch Tiger King or play iRacing. So it's a pretty crazy time, but just kind of hanging out at the house and trying to get caught up on this iRacing thing. I've never really done that before, so learning as I go there. I already finished Tiger King, so you guys are in for a ride on that one, but it's been interesting for sure.
Well, we just – that's ironically, that was our first segment of the show, and I'm just through episode one last night, so I finally broke down, and Willie is through episode three. Chase is going to hit it hard this weekend. So we're at the early, early stages. Already our listeners are screaming on Twitter, don't tell us what happens. Obviously, a lot of people are watching, so you just kind of hinted. It's going to get a lot crazier. The ride's going to get a lot bumpier. Is that what you're telling us?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, Carol fed her husband to the Tigers, so, you know.
that's what the internet says.
And yeah, she did it for sure. It happened.
That's what the internet and social media says. It's okay. Well, okay, we'll just leave it at that. So, okay, well, actually, before we say we move on, thumbs up or thumbs down overall? What did you think? Was it good?
So I kept seeing people being like, "Hey, I'm watching Tiger King. This is wild," and I would scroll past it, and I'm like, there's no way I can get into that. Like, I'm not going to sit and watch Tiger King. That sounds dumb. And then I got really bored, so I watched the first episode, and I was just absolutely mind blown. And I'm pretty sure I watched the whole thing in 2 days. So big thumbs up on Tiger King. Big thumbs down at Carol. But, yeah, it's a hell of a ride.
See, now you're pulling me in even more. Now I've got to know a little bit more because Carol is, you know, she's in episode one, but, you know, they're setting this. It's clear that they're setting the scene for what else is going to happen. So you've also talked about iRacing. Tell us more about it. Tell our listeners more about it. And this is a really cool concept and just, you know, what it's been like thus far for you.
Yeah, it's pretty neat, you know, to be able to put on a show for the fans and have something to throw up on TV on the weekends. It's been fun. I'm not an iRacer by any means. My teammate William Byron is really big into it, so I've been trying to lean on him to learn what I can. But it's been neat. I think this past weekend was the first time I've played iRacing without a beer in my hand, so it's definitely a different approach for me than normal on the computer, but been having fun so far. It's become really serious really quickly. We're having conference calls and all kinds of stuff, just trying to figure out how to get better throughout the team. We've got sponsor decals and all kinds of serious stuff now. So we are all in at Hendrick Motorsports on the iRacing side of things. But if you're going to do it, you might as well try to win, right?
Absolutely. Alex Bowman is with us. He's the driver of the number 88 Hendrick Motorsports Chevrolet, and iRacing coming up this weekend on Fox, 12 Central. They will be racing at the virtual Texas Motor Speedway. So let's go back to last week at Homestead. You had a good run going, and I saw on Twitter that you had to have a bathroom break, so you let Finn jump in and didn't go so well.
Yeah, that's my excuse, and I'm sticking to it.
Finn is his dog, for those
that
don't know.
Yep. I let my dog drive, and we were running up front, and I came back, and the whole field was crashed, and my dog was just looking at me like I didn't do it. So, we crashed the whole field, including my teammate, which he was actually pretty mad at me for that. So that was an interesting evening after calling him. But, it wasn't a bad day. We finished sixth. You get resets after you crash, so you just got to drive down pit lane, and they give you a new car, and you get back going. Sometimes I wish we had those on Sundays, but it was interesting for sure. Some guys, you know, I race a lot, and then other guys don't I race at all. So there was a big experience level difference throughout the field. Some guys crashed a lot. Some guys didn't crash. Some guys practiced a bunch. Other guys just showed up and and completely winged it, like my teammate Jimmy Johnson. He crashed the whole field too, so it was a good time. It was really entertaining. I'll be interested to see how, as the seriousness level goes up over the next couple weeks, if it stays as entertaining and fun as it was, because I think the lack of seriousness last weekend is really why it was fun for me. And a lot of people are taking it really serious now, so it'll be interesting to see how that affects it.
Yeah, I've seen some of the rigs that some of these guys have, and it's crazy how much money they put into it. But Alex, the way that you can interact with the fans and they're able to watch this, whether it's on TV or on the computer, and they just see you guys having fun, I mean, that's got to be the most important part of this, you know, as you guys have this downtime.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I drove a lot of the race while tweeting. So obviously you can't do that in a real race car. So I had some pretty live updates of how things were going. So that was definitely interesting and fun. Trying to make some pit strategy calls and tweeted asking what the fans thought I should do a couple times. So little stuff like that. It was fun. It's just it's different. It's so much different than what we normally get to do. Things like there's like an open dialogue going on basically during the race, and you have a headset on so you can talk to everybody that you're racing against. So you get, like, in the real race car, we yell at each other all the time, but the other guy can't hear you yelling at him. Whereas on the video game, you can yell at the other guy and he can absolutely hear you. So that got pretty interesting a couple times. Some of the guys were pretty heated in there, but it was a lot of fun.
What's the cool thing about it is it's a mix of, you know, the Cup drivers, and you got some Truck Series drivers and Xfinity, but also a couple of retired guys, Bobby Labonte, Dale Jr., and Dale Jr., of course, has been doing this for years. So what's it like racing against those guys?
Yeah, it's cool because you see, like, a lot of guys, you look at a guy like Timmy Hill that has never had a shot in good equipment, but he iRaces all the time and is really good at it and ran up front the whole time. So it's cool to see guys like that have success in it. And then to have guys like Bobby Labonte and Dale Jr. go run, that was fun. Obviously, Dale's really, really good at it and almost won the thing. So that's cool. He still drives with one hand, which is crazy. He kind of does that in the real race car, too, with how he used to move his hand on the wheel throughout the corner. So it was cool to see him have the success that he did. And, I mean, anytime you get Dale Jr. involved in anything, fans are all about it. So I think that's really good for everybody.
You obviously have had a lot of success to start off the year, got the win at Auto Club Speedway, your second career win. And it feels like that you have really established yourself as one of the top drivers in the NASCAR Cup Series and the 88 car. Do you feel like that now you have made that your car, your team, and it's not so much, I mean, everybody's going to remember Dale Jr. as the driver of that car, but this is now Alex Bowman's team?
Man, I'm trying to, for sure. I think that's something that's difficult to do. I mean, you look at the 24 with William, and he still gets that all the time, and Jeff Gordon wasn't even the last guy to drive that car. Chase Elliott was, you know, so it's hard, you know, when you have somebody super successful or the most popular driver or whoever in that number before you, from the inside, like inside the team and inside Hendrick Motorsports, it's my team, my car. You know, it's not really thought of as Dale's, but from the outside, from a lot of fans' perspective, it's still Dale's car, and I'm the guy who took over when Dale retired, and that's just kind of how it is. You know, when you have somebody so iconic in the car before you, that it just kind of sticks around like that, but that's fine. I mean, Dale's been a huge part of my career, and I wouldn't be here without his help, so I'm okay with it. I just want to go out and win a bunch of trophies, and we're off to a good start with that this year.
Alex, last thing. We had our show at the Music City Center leading up to the NASCAR Awards banquet that was in our town, and we talked to a lot of drivers and a lot of people in your sport. We had a good time over there that day, and, of course, that was leading into the start of your all season, which we always know is the big one, Daytona 500, to kick off your season. And the three of us were watching. We know the rain delayed it. Then Monday we were watching it live when the crazy finish happened. I know drivers don't really think about that stuff, but when you see that, now that you've had time to reflect, I mean, what Ryan Newman went through, and to see a wreck like that and to know how incredibly dangerous your sport is. Every time you climb in the car, something like that could happen. What goes through your mind, and how do you approach that as a driver?
Yeah, I mean, it's something we all approach every week. No matter what kind of race car you get in, there's no race car that is completely safe. So that's just part of driving a 3,400-pound stock car at 200 miles an hour. But for Ryan to be okay and really have as little injuries as he did, he almost look at it as a miracle, because that crash just looked terrible. So very thankful that he's okay. But NASCAR's done such a good job at making these cars as safe as they can be, and improving that all the time. I mean, all the time they're trying to improve that. So I think him being as okay as he is a testament to all the work that NASCAR's done, how tough Ryan is, and everything like that, because that hit looked terrible. It Yep. looked like one of the worst possible situations all around. So just really happy that he's okay. Each and every time we strap in a race car, whether it's a stock car, a sprint car, or midget, or whatever you're racing, that nothing is ever completely safe, and you always have that in the back of your head.
Alex, well, that's a good ending. I think your dog is saying wrap it up. And thanks for pulling us in a little bit more with Tiger King. Now, there's no doubt with the weekend approaching, we're going to get through this entire thing, especially after talking to you. Keep having fun.
Absolutely.
We'll be watching, and we can't wait for you guys to get back out on the track, and we can all get through this together, and sports fans will be so excited to see live racing again. So thanks for doing this.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys, for having me.
All right, be safe. That's Alex Bowman, NASCAR driver in the 88 car. Good interview with him. We will come back and discuss some things you heard there. Trent Dilfer, by the way, will kick off the second hour of the program with us. We're excited about that as well. More of Darren Donick and Chase next here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase on this Friday morning. Hope everybody's had a good start to your day. We appreciate Alex Bowman, NASCAR driver in the 88 car, for joining us. Chase, if people have not had a chance to check this out on FS1, tell everybody when they can watch this weekend again.
Well, this weekend it's on Big Fox. It's on Channel 17. Yeah, so Fox Sports has committed to, as long as we're in this and having to do these online races, they're going to air them either on FS1 or Fox. And as you guys know, because, I mean, we're in this business right now, all the networks are, CBS thought that they were going to be airing an NCAA tournament. So they're having to fill all this time where they thought they were going to have programming. And Fox has the NASCAR races for the first half of the season. So they're going to put them where the races were supposed to go. So Texas this weekend, 12 o'clock Central Time on Fox. And you can watch Alex and Dale Jr. and some of the others race against each other online. Denny Hamlin won last week. And Mike Joy, Jeff Gordon, Larry McReynolds, they'll be on the call just like they would be during the actual races. So it's cool. It's different. It's outside the box. And I think people have really enjoyed it.
So there you go. So this weekend on Fox, that's really cool.
Yeah.
By the way, I know you've talked to Alex before. We didn't get a chance to talk to him when we were there doing our show at the NASCAR Awards. And so that's the first time that I've dealt with him. Good kid.
Yeah, he's a really good dude. And his story is cool. You may remember back in 2016, Dale Earnhardt Jr. was involved in a wreck. and got a concussion. I think it was at Michigan. And so he had a concussion. He missed pretty much half the season. And Alex had been racing in the Xfinity Series, and I think he had been doing some testing for Hendrick Motorsports and Junior Motorsports. And Dell said, hey, this kid is very talented. Let's give him a shot. So Alex Bowman and Jeff Gordon, who had retired from full-time racing, split the 88 car and finished the year. And when Dale came to the decision that this was it, that he was going to retire, Alex, I mean, he told Rick Hendrick, that's your guy. That's the guy that needs to take the 88. And so that's what they did. And this is his third full year in the 88 car. He's got a couple wins, one last year at Kansas, and then got a win earlier this year at Auto Club. So very talented driver. It's taken a while, but they've been patient, and I think he's capable of winning a lot of races. You heard him say it. He wants to win a lot of trophies.
Was he listening to our first segment? I mean,
yeah, he was on hold for a couple minutes. Right,
okay, I was going to say, because he just went right into Tiger Keen. I didn't even bring it up.
Yeah.
And he went right into it. So there you go. I mean, ringing endorsement and from Alex Bowman on Tiger Keen. And clearly, you out there listening are watching too, because we're getting a lot of tweets on it. Brandy says, oh, my goodness, Tiger Keen is pure insanity. You need a strong glass of whiskey after you finish watching it. Actually, I'm thinking tonight, whenever put Maddox to bed, I think the strong glass of bourbon will be before. Yeah, not afterwards, before. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, I might have to do that too.
Nice little pour of Blanton's, maybe. I'm just gonna put that out there.
I have definitely during this quarantine and staying home, I have opened up the liquor cabinet and checked out some things that I haven't in a while. So, I might have to join you in that and watch some Tiger King real quick as we wrap up the racing. YouTube has been uploading old races. NASCAR has put old races on, and so to get me in this, what I've been doing during the show is on one of the TVs I've had an old race on. I'm watching the 2000 spring race from Texas where Dale Jr. got his first win. So it's kind of cool to look back and see some of the old drivers, including a guy that drove a black number three car for a long time. So it's kind of neat as we talk to Alex Bowman.
Indeed it is. So I hope a lot of you will check out this was iRacing on this online.
Yep. eNASCAR. So NASCAR sanctions it. NASCAR has had a series for iRacing, and anybody can do it. Like I've been looking at it to actually get on there. And if you're a novice and don't have the big setups, I mean, you look at what the drivers have. I mean, they have a racing seat and like four different screens that are big screens and high def. So it feels like they're actually in a race car. Denny Hamlin's moves, like his actually jumps around and reacts to the bumps on the track. But they go through and they scan these tracks. And so if there's a, for instance, at Nashville, there's a dip in turn three. Well, they scan Nashville, and guess what? On the game, there's a dip in turn three. And so it has those types of details. And Dale Earnhardt Jr. has been a big part of it, of going to some of the old tracks. And they went and cleaned up North Wilkesboro Speedway, which has weeds growing in it, so they could scan it and put it in the game. So you can go and race at, an old track like North Wilkesboro. So there's a ton of detail, and a lot of these drivers have been doing it a long time. But iRacing is the website, and it's pretty cheap, and anybody can do it and learn about it. And you can use a controller, you can get a wheel, whatever, and it's neat. And so that's what these guys are doing.
I got a question for you guys. Chase, you'd be the best guy to ask this.
Okay.
If you were to have a showdown between actual drivers in the simulation and the masters of video games at doing this, what would be the result?
Well, they've actually been doing that. They have a series called The Replacements.
Like who's winning?
It's been a mix. So they have this series they've been doing called The Replacements, where William Byron, that Alex mentioned, that's his teammate at Hendrick Motorsports, drives the 24 car. He's been in this. There's been some other people that are, in the industry that have been in it. But then they actually have drivers that they race video games. They're just video game masters. And so they mix in, and sometimes, you know, the real drivers have won. Sometimes the video game guys have won. So it's just all about, you know, you put practice into anything, you're going to get good at it. And so there are some guys that, like Jimmy Johnson is a 7-time champion, and he sucked last week because he hasn't done it before. Like, he wrecked everybody. He was awful. And that was what was fun about it is here's 7-time, this, you know, first ballot Hall of Famer, and he doesn't know what he's doing, and he's sitting in a car, you know. And the problem was they showed his rig. He had actually gotten an IndyCar rig because he's testing an IndyCar, and the rumors are that he's going to run the Indy 500 next year. And so that's why he's doing that when he retires full time. And so he had, I mean, his legs were all up high like an Indy car, and it just, the setup wasn't right. But so you can see the experience level. That's what Alex was talking about. And a lot of these guys are putting in a ton of practice. And so I think to answer your question, Willie, there's just, it's a mixed bag. I mean, if you spend a lot of time at it, it doesn't matter if you're a real race car driver. I think you can master it.
All right, when we come back, we had Kurt Casale on yesterday. We had a really good conversation with him, and I asked him about what they're hearing, and he said, well, we're hearing a lot of stuff, and we're being told a lot of stuff, but he really wasn't comfortable going into any details. I mean, we had floated to him some things that were already out there, just some things that you've heard Rob Manfred, who was on SportsCenter with Scott Van Pelt a couple of nights ago, things that have been floated out there, possibly neutral site games for playoffs if they had to go deep into, you know, bad weather situation, whether it's November, December, what have you, and 7-inning doubleheaders. But he said that, hey, we're hearing a lot of stuff, but he really wasn't comfortable. But it looks like there's some stuff that's starting to get out on maybe what he was talking about, and we've seen some of that since we were off the air yesterday at 2 o'clock. We'll discuss that to wrap up the first hour of Darren Donick and Chase. We do that next on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Sitting here watching, E60 is going to air a piece called Being Rex Chapman tonight at 6 o'clock our time on ESPN. I'm just telling you right now, along with Tiger Keen this weekend, there's no doubt I'll be watching that. Guys, you know,
Locker
we all
charge.
Yeah, and it's really all about that. They're interviewing him right now on Get Up, and he's telling them about how all that started out. And I'm just telling you, when, you know, we've all you know, talked about guys that we saw, you know, high school that just wowed us. He was a kid at Apollo High School in Owensboro, Kentucky, that I saw. He came through and played Henry Clay. I think it was Henry Clay, yes. Remember, this is a long time ago. And Sean Farmer was on Henry Clay. I need to fact check all this. Anyway, I went to the game, and it wasn't Richie Farmer. That's incorrect. I saw Rex Chapman play a couple games live in high school, and he was the most dynamic. He blew me away. I mean, that we've all remember, right? I mean, John Jenkins was known for, you know, anybody who went to watch him in high school in these parts in Tennessee, remember him in high school. We've all remembered, you know, whatever sport we're talking about. In this case, we're talking about basketball. Somebody that blew you away watching them in high school, and he was that guy. There's no doubt at Apollo High School in Owensboro, and they would, I guess, come into Lexington and play some of the Lexington schools, and I got a chance to see him, and he was mind-blowing. But obviously there's a lot of things that came with Rex Chapman's career at Kentucky and in the NBA, and then kind of he hit the skids after that. And so I guess this is going to entail all of this, and kind of Rex Chapman is making his way back. I mean, he is bigger than ever on social media, so I'm looking forward to that. 6 o'clock tonight, check it out on ESPN.
Yeah, that'll be cool, because I mean, he's a great follow, and we all see the blocker charge videos that he does, and he actually followed me back, so it's kind of cool. But yeah, I look forward to seeing
At first,
that.
I didn't know it was him. I didn't know it was actually the Rex Chapman.
Yeah, me
because
either.
The blocker charge, you know, other than the basketball reference, would not give away that that would for sure be him. So I would be very curious to know the story behind that because I'm like you, Darren. Of course, I never saw him in high school, but I remember just picking up a Sports Illustrated. He's on the cover of Sports Illustrated before he ever played a college game, right? And he got that kind of hype coming out of high school. He was a great college player at Kentucky, a long time NBA player, but I would guarantee you a pretty high percentage, I don't know what the percentage would be, but a high percentage of his followers on Twitter would have no idea about his basketball history. Fair to say?
I'd say today, yeah. Today especially. Mm-hmm. Just because of he tweets out these crazy, crazy videos that make you laugh. And yeah, I would say, I don't even know how many followers he has now. I'm sure it's in the millions, probably.
Oh, it's got to be
my guess.
He has, if only there were a way to look that up. Rex Chapman has
590,000. Okay, yep. I thought it'd be more than that.
I love his bio line. I hold the microphone like a grudge.
It's almost 600,000 followers. But yeah, check that out tonight at 6 o'clock if you can on ESPN. We talked to Kirk Casale. I brought that up. And, Willie, it looks like some of the baseball guys, Ken Rosenthal being one of them, has put out there some details about, and we've seen this since we were off the air yesterday, of whether there is a season or not a season, some of the details of guys that would become free agents. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because one of them involves a Nashvillian in Mookie Betts.
Right, what they basically agreed to, and it's got to be ratified here maybe later today, they've had a big-time meeting with the Players Association and the owners. They knew they needed to agree to this quickly, but what they have compromised on is the Major League players will get service time regardless of how many games are played. So they'll get service time based on 162 games. So that, as you said, Darren, will continue to move people towards arbitration and free agency. So a guy like Mookie Betts, who is a free agent at the end of the season, even if the season is shortened or not played at all, he, in theory, would be a free agent if they ratify this. So theoretically or hypothetically, if for some reason they don't play a game at all, then Mookie Betts could be a Dodger for a whole season but not play a game and then become a free agent and sign somewhere else. That is possible.
The Braves, they gave up
people
stuff
were saying like
to get him.
Yeah. And Chase, the Braves, for example, they signed Cole Hamels and they signed Marcelo Ozuna to 1 year contracts. So that's probably not great for the Braves. Now the players had to give back as well because they're not being paid as much based on how many games are played. So what they've agreed to is, and Kurt said this exactly yesterday, they want to play as many games as possible, even if the regular season goes well into October. I think they've set aside 30 dates or 31 dates in October that they could play regular season games if that's what it took to get more games in.
Yeah, when the NHL went through the lockouts, wasn't that the same thing? Where if they had gone through, like, the half the season is all it turned out to be, but if it had canceled the whole season, like Chris Mason, for instance, was on a one-year contract with the Preds, that would have, I mean, he just would have missed that year, and it wouldn't have, he would have been a free agent, right? Wasn't it the same thing?
The lockout, yeah, they didn't get paid during the time that they were locked out.
Right,
sure.
But I'm talking about
I don't know how the service time. I don't know how the service time went. But that's a good question. I don't remember. But of course, this is something there. This is obviously not a labor situation. They have a collective bargaining agreement. They're just trying to agree on with the circumstances of this pandemic, how they adjust. Like here's a couple other things they hit on. The postseason could be expanded and played at least in part at neutral sites. We brought this up yesterday. Transactions are going to be frozen once they make this deal official. In other words, you can't trade players or send players down everybody's going to be frozen in place until they agree on a date, players and owners, that they can resume. And at the season, whenever that is, they're likely to expand for the start of the season, coming off an abbreviated spring training. So, in other words, you'll start with maybe a bigger pitching staff so that pitchers aren't stressed early in the year while they're trying to get back into playing shape. I think that's a pretty smart move. And here's the one that really got me, guys, the final one. Think about how this affects college baseball programs and high school baseball programs, even around here. They're going to shorten the baseball draft to 5 rounds. Imagine that. I mean, that's a pretty stark change from the 40 or 50 rounds that they customarily do. So think about if you're a high school player and you're thinking about, you know, seeing where you get drafted and then making a decision to go to college or stay at home. Well, if there's only 5 rounds, you know, if you're not drafted in those first 5 rounds, what do you do? You know, I guess that's going to crowd college rosters. That's going to maybe squeeze some people out who might have gotten drafted, but now can they find a college roster to go to? I mean, it's going to be an interesting domino effect.
Indeed it is, and still the uncertainty of knowing when they're going to come back.
You know? Yeah. Well, and think about this, too. Let's say, you know, you've got two things going on the college side that could be affected by this draft news, right? A, I'm a senior, and maybe I have a chance to get drafted. Well, now the draft's only 5 rounds. So do I try to go out there and get a free agent contract? I guess you could try to do that. Or do I try to take the NCAA up on their offer of I can go back to my school? But then there's also a group of juniors that would ordinarily get drafted in the 10th or 11th round. It happens every year. The SEC is flooded with guys like this, right? The better players in the SEC all get drafted after their junior year at some point. But if you're below round 5, it probably means there'll be more juniors coming back for their senior years. So the logjam on some of the top college rosters, I think, is going to be something to watch for.
Kirk Casale, who we spoke to yesterday, I believe was a 10th round pick. I think that's right. 10th round.
Yeah, I think he was in there. I think you're right.
I think it is, because I remember looking at the Reds roster, and I think Tucker Barnhart and Kirk Casale both were drafted in the 10th round. So both of their catchers were drafted in the 10th round. All right, we will come back and kick the second hour. By the way, trivia, our first installment of trivia coming up at 1 o'clock today. We will head over to the campus of Lipscomb Academy, and we will talk to their head football coach, Trent Dilfer, to kick off the second hour of Darren Donica Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.